Welcome to Rhema for Today.
Now, do you see any difference between Thomas's faith and Abraham's faith? Decidedly, yes. Notice concerning Abraham's faith. Notice the latter part of that 18th verse, Romans 4:18. He believed according to that which was spoken. He believed according to that which was spoken. He believed according to that which was spoken. Now, what did Thomas believe? I'll not believe unless I can see and feel. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. See where it is? Folks try to get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Answered Prayer, an Obtainable Goal, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
But however, if you read the context there, you'll find that he's talking about financial and material needs. You'll read the whole section of Scripture. So then we can claim that according to the Word of God. And then claim, I believe that I receive. Yeah, but I don't have it yet. I know that's when you got to believe you receive. If you had it, you'd know that you received. Amen? And that's exactly where we break down is that we continue to walk with a natural human faith. And you know, we've got a good illustration of that in the Scriptures. You can see the difference between the two of them in the 4th chapter of Romans and the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. You remember that after Jesus' resurrection, he had appeared unto the disciples, and Thomas was not with them. And they said, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "I'll not believe unless I can see." See, so many people won't believe unless they can see. Unless I can see the print of the nail in his hands and put my finger in that print, or we'd say nail hole, and see the wound in his side and thrust my hand in his side. Well, about 8 days later, the door was shut for fear of the Jews. Thomas was with them, and suddenly Jesus appeared in their midst. And he looked at Thomas and said unto him, you know, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thine hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Amen. Now notice what he said. "Blessed are they which have not seen, yet do believe." Now you see, he did not commend, nor did he recommend the Thomas kind of faith. Never said a word about him being blessed. Same Greek word translated blessed also is translated happy sometimes. Happy. "Because you've seen me, you believe, but happy are they which have not seen, yet do believe." Now go over to the 4th chapter of Romans, start reading the 17th verse now. And notice the contrast between these two kinds of faith. Now notice, 17th verse, "Before him whom he believed," this is talking about Abraham, "even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that that which he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now, do you see any difference between Thomas's faith and Abraham's faith? Decidedly, yes. Notice concerning Abraham's faith. Notice the latter part of that 18th verse, Romans 4:18. He believed according to that which was spoken. He believed according to that which was spoken. He believed according to that which was spoken. Now, what did Thomas believe? "I'll not believe unless I can see and feel." Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. See where it is? Folks try to get Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. And it won't work. You can't do it. You can't do it. Amen. He believed, Abraham believed according to that which was spoken. Well, you see, we've already taken step number one here. We found the scriptures that promised us the things we're praying for. We've already got the word for it, God's word for it. Then we believe according to the word that was spoken. Hallelujah. Not according to what we see, not according to what we feel, not according to what our physical senses tell us. We believe according to that which was spoken. Amen. Hallelujah. How important that is. How important that is. Now, you see, many good people, splendid, wonderful people, no insinuation at all. Many of them have developed spiritually way beyond some of us in some areas, fail to see these truths, and in some areas of their life are defeated. And I will forget, you know, ministering there in Fort Worth for a minister. When I first went there, I was only in my 30s. The pastor, when I first preached for him, was 55 years old. I think about the last time I preached for him, he's about 62. Over about a 7-year period, I held about 5 meetings in his church. Now, it was discovered, he discovered when he was 39 years old, that he had sugar diabetes. And all those years, he'd given himself a shot of insulin every day. Well, he tried to get a hold. See, I preached 7 meetings for him, or in his church, about 7 times. First time, preached 4 solid weeks there, teaching on faith. He sat there and listened to faith taught every single morning. Second meeting, 3 weeks. Other times, I just filled in some times over a 10-day period there one time. And so on. Well, I was in Fort Worth preaching in another church in the south part of town, and called him, and then my wife and I went and had lunch with he and his wife. Then we were sitting in their home talking with him, and he said to me, "Brother Hagin, you know," said, "I'll be 72 next month. In fact, actually less than 30 days, but the next calendar month. And I'm going to resign, pastor. I've pastored this church for 42 years. Now, he said, "At my age, if I could find an adequate..." And see, we didn't have Rhema then to train some adequate people. And he said, "If I could find some adequate assistance, I'd stay on for a while. And I could be running a whole lot more people than we run if I had help. But one man can't pastor but so many sheep, you know." And so he had, he'd held it at a certain level. In fact, he'd started, I forgot how many churches he told me he started out of his. Just in a, seeming like it's over 30 churches he started out of his. He, through the years, you know, 42 years. He said, we've given them some time. Now think about this. We've given them anywhere from 30 to 300 members. We've given them as much as $6,000. Not sound big now, a lot of money then, to help start another church. Amen. Because he said, you see, for instance, he said, and he's telling me about an assistant he had then, he's had to let go. They just won't take over and run everything. Well, as long as the senior pastor's there, he runs everything. Associate pastors need to learn to keep their mouth shut whether they agree with it or whether they don't get into their business. Amen. I said, amen. They're there to support the pastor. They're not there to try to paddle their own canoe and run their own thing. Amen. And so this assistant, without asking him, without saying anything to the pastor, there's one lady that had been a Sunday school teacher for 35 years, and he just removed her from her class, and the class was all upset. She'd been teaching them for years, you see. And he just put her out, you know, I'm going to put somebody else in there. Well, that's not his place. No, talk to anybody. And then other things even worse than that. So he said, I just had to let him go. You could understand why I had to let him go. But if I could get adequate help, he said, if I could get a couple assistants, you know, well, we could run 3 or 4 times the minutes we're running, and I'd stay on help, because a man with 42 years experience pastoring one church would have a lot of wisdom. Amen. And we'd keep going, but I can't get adequate help, so I'm just going to turn it over to a younger man, just retire. And he did. However, he said to me, you know, Brother Hagin, he said, I'm completely healed of my sugar diabetes. I haven't had a shot of insulin in over 2 years. Now he's about 72. He was 69 when he had his last shot of insulin. Now you think about it. From 39 to 69, which is 30 years. Well, you just ask any doctor, when your pancreas has been dead and hasn't produced any insulin for 30 years, it's not going to start producing any ordinarily. Amen? But his did. Same doctor he'd had all through the years. Took him off of insulin. Hadn't had a shot of it. Didn't need it. Hadn't had it in over 30 years. Think about that. Think about that. And so I asked him, but Brother Brown, I just wonder how it came about. He said, it finally dawned on me what you were saying. Now you think about a wonderful man, one of the most marvelous pastors and wonderful men of God I ever preached for. He said, I should say it finally dawned on me what Jesus said, because all you was doing is just preaching what Jesus said. Yeah. Now you think about that. You'd preach 7 meetings for him. And from the first time you preached for him till the time he was healed was 14 years. It finally dawned on me what you were saying, or it finally dawned on me what Jesus said. When you pray, believe you receive. And he said, I finally saw what I was trying to do. See, I'm trying to have my healing first, and then I'm going to believe it. But the Bible said exactly opposite. You got to believe it first, and then you'll have it. So he said, I stayed there in the parsonage with him. You know, he said, I get up and go over there to church next door and pray every morning from 5:30 to 6:30, sometimes longer. But every morning, he'd be over there praying.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin-Burns by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. First, we're offering Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book, Staying Positive in a Negative World. Next is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD entitled, You Can Have Success. Next in our offer is Denise Hagin-Burns' CD, New Seasons. Last is Reverend Lynette Hagin's book entitled, God's Peace. Experience it all the time. All these items for the special price of only $25. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
And coming up, September the 25th through the 27th. Can't believe it's the 25th anniversary of Kindle the Flame Women's Conference. Wow. The years have passed way too fast.
Yeah, I know. You and Denise have really been working on that. I mean,
that's right.
That when that week arrives, I just stay out of the way.
You do. You take care of yourself because you know that you're not getting any pampering from me, right?
But then the same thing happens when the men's conference comes up in November, okay?
Yes, yes.
Well, hey, we've had such a great time with you today. Thanks for being with us. And until we see you next time, thank you for helping us.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message, Answered Prayer, an Obtainable Goal. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.